for taking the ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ford, and as always, ride with me is my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by Pax Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And Pax Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org to learn more about the organization, the codes of conduct, the members, how to donate to the organization, how to get involved, and they also have a learning center that you can click on. If you hover over the tab, you'll see they got audio information, stuff on politics, books, survival, legal cases, videos, all these things. So make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Learn more about myself, Patrick, all of our other hosts, Professor Carl Tone Jones, our Tea Time Ladies, Darnell Durden, everything that we got going on here at the Freedom Train Network. And you can also check out our weekly lineup. As you know, every Monday you get the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Tuesday you get the Block and Nickel Money Party. Every Wednesday you get this show, this lovely, great show, the Freedom Train Podcast Series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours, Professor Carl Tone Jones of Agritoba. Every Thursday you get Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. Every Friday you now get the Fix Sports Podcast, as well as the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tobin. Every Saturday you get Tea Time Black Women Talk, as well as the podcast of On the Shoulders of Giants. And, you know, you can visit the website once again, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to learn more about us. Follow us on social media, Instagram at Freedom Train Network, Twitter at Freedom Train Net, Facebook, the Freedom Train Network, YouTube, the Freedom Train Network. Shoot, man, we out here. Hey, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. You can go check us out. And hey, Pat, man, should we go ahead and start teasing about the app and the other stuff?
I mean, it can't hurt. You know what I'm saying? It can't.
Go ahead, tell
you
them. Yeah, tell them. Give them a little tease about what you got cooking up, man.
All right, so check this out, folks. Check this out. We got the app. It's gonna be going to open beta sometime soon. Beta means that you get the app and you test it, you play around with it, and you tell us what's wrong with it, what's right with it, what could be fixed. So you could be looking out for that in the coming weeks. We also got the live radio. Yep, the Freedom Train Network is now an official internet radio station. We got our own station, our own lineup, so we're doing that. So there's going to be there's already the link on the website that you can go to, but we don't put content up on a consistent basis because we're trying to figure out how that works. So if you click on the link on the day that we don't have content up, you're going to hear Joe saying all kinds of craziness. Now, so we got the app coming out. We got the internet radio station coming out. Things is moving. We got new shows lining up. You know, things is moving, man. We doing big things over here, man. Y'all better get on board now. Start supporting the brand on the come up. You know, we don't want no bandwagoners. You know, once the train get full and it ain't no room.
Right. You better get down. Why we letting y'all get down? Because if you don't get down now and the train start moving and you're trying to get down and the train come by and the train coming real fast and you're trying to grab on, it might take your shoulder out the socket.
Hey, man, we just saying, man, we want people to help us on the come up. You know what I'm saying? We want people to be there for us. That's not saying we're going to be like, once we get over a certain amount of fans, we don't want you no more. But, you know, it would be nice to have people jumping on board early while these things is popping off. So, you know, we got the apps, we got the podcasts, we got the internet radio stations. We're working on the news angle. We're working on the articles and the blogs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are definitely on our way to becoming something official, in the words of
like a whistle.
And my generation. Do they still say official?
They say it'll be 100, I think.
I don't know. Anyways, we working on becoming whatever it means when people be like, you made it. So definitely get on board. Help us out. Comment on the shows. You know what I'm saying? Share. Let us know. You know, we're always trying to figure out what our audience wants. We're always trying to figure out better ways to keep in contact with our audience. We're always trying to figure out better ways to expand our audience. So if you got any suggestions, questions, whatever, comments, whatever, you know, you got plenty of ways you can reach us. The website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Like, there's plenty of ways to reach us. Find whichever one you like, even the Google Play, the Stitcher, the iTunes. Find whichever way you like to reach us and just reach out to us.
Straight up, B. Straight up and down, B's. That way you can be down with the click. Now, this is our Father's Day edition of the Freedom Train podcast series, and we just want to further dispel the myth of bad black fathers. That's the mission today, and to shine more light on good fatherhood and the positivity and the presence of good fatherhood in the black community. You know, we feel like Father's Day, just like Mother's Day or any other day, we should be celebrating the people within our community on the regular day. But we will take advantage of this time to expose more of the goodness that's going on within our community. So the first thing we want to look at it is black fatherhood valued? Then we want to look at what can men do to become better fathers. And then we're going to use that information to further dispel the myth of absent black fathers. And I think we've done it before. We're just going to kind of drive it home today. So, Pat.
What up?
You a father. Mm-hmm. I ain't no father. I want to be a father. I ain't no father yet. But first time I get the chance to be a father. All you need to know is Machine Gun Kelly. But anyway, you get it. You get it. But is black fatherhood value in your opinion? And if so, why? If not, why?
I think it's a mixed bag, and it depends on the audience. I think socially everybody says it's value, but in a way, you know, it's kind of like the way we do veterans. You know, everybody say respect the vets, honor the vets, but most of the homeless people
really
see on the side of the streets is vets.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the area that black fatherhood is in. You know, respect our fathers, cherish our fathers, but every time you turn around, the fathers are being ignored. And let me say to that, and we talked about this earlier, I'm not one of them dudes that thinks that men should get credit for taking care of their goddamn business. I'm not one of them dudes that think anybody, man or woman, mother or father, should get credit for taking care of their children. But what I am saying is that there are certain behaviors that we have as a community that make me wonder whether or not a man taking care of his children is really a cultural value that we have. When you see men that aren't taking care of the children they already have, always managing to find somebody else to knock up. You know what I'm saying? When you see various situations like that where a young lady will have four or five deadbeat dads, and it's not even the fact that she has so many, it's the fact that she has... Or it's not the fact that she has so many deadbeat dads, per se. It's the fact that after experiencing one dude who wasn't going to take care of his kids, she didn't take care to make sure that the next dudes would. And I understand people are going to say, well, dudes are tricky, this, that, and the third. But that's where you get back down to that thing, even to the point of, like, how many dudes are friends with a guy that's an ain't shit father? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many fathers have sons that are ain't shit fathers, that ain't talking to their sons? How many mothers have sons that are ain't shit fathers, that ain't talking to their sons? You know, so when you look at both sides of the equation, it's like, yeah, when people find out that you're taking care of your kids, they shout you out and they, oh, you're doing good, we need more men like you. But they aren't doing anything to create a atmosphere that's hostile. And that's the way it needs to be. It needs to be a hostile atmosphere. Our culture needs to become a hostile culture for anybody that's not taking care of their kids, men, women, or otherwise. And largely, if you find out a woman ain't taking care of her kids, the culture is kind of sinister. It can be kind of hostile. But for the most part, dudes are kind of giving that pass. So, like I said, it depends on the circle you in. But as a culture, I got to say, it looks like as a culture, we really don't care. And I think that goes into a whole bunch of other avenues. But I ain't trying to talk all day, so that's where my head is at.
No, I get you. Well, and because more so leaning on you as an expert on this, because like I said, I ain't no father. And I'm going to keep saying it like that. I ain't no father yet. So, I think your opinion counts in ways because of, you know, being able to see what you've been able to do as a single father of three boys. And so far, your boys ain't in trouble. They ain't doing no stupid stuff. And, you know, they seem to be on the right track and the right path. And they alive. So
yeah, and that's been interesting, too, because that's one of the things, and I will say this for dissection by anybody who chooses to dissect it, but especially when I was single with my boys, I'm married now, thank goodness, but when I was single with my boys, I came across a lot of women who were like, nah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were good with me right. Until they found out that I had, and they were even good with me having three kids. You got custody? They live with you? So I think that's interesting as well, because that's a component to our culture that's seldom talked about. Go ahead.
My bad. Not to cut you off, but I do hear from the outside looking in, I do hear a lot of women, you know, not necessarily finding a guy with three kids or any kid something that she want to get involved with, even though that lady may have. I've heard women with three or more kids say that they don't want no man with kids, and I'm looking at them like, what? And they're like, because I don't want to deal with nobody else's kids. I'm like, well, you expect somebody to do that to you. But I did want to ask this because coming from that, you had that time and you've sat in the role, you've been doing your thing. Do you feel as if the role of the fathers and fatherhood period is like people really care about fathers? Because to me it seemed like people really don't. Like, you have to, if you're not a father that don't push the issue, anybody really gonna go out of their way for you for Father's Day or anything surrounding fatherhood? That's what it seems like. But it's just, do you feel like that you get the respect that you deserve as a father for taking care of your child? You know, you're supposed to do it, but because it seems like mothers get that respect, but do you feel like fathers get that same respect or even get respect at all?
I don't put that on, like, fatherhood or non-fatherhood. I put that on the man box in general. Like, people don't feel like men enjoy getting things like compliments and gifts and other things like that. Like, you know, a lot of people, a good chunk of people have got this thing in their mind where, you know, all a man want is food and fucking and silence. And so, you know, they don't think that men in general have all of these, like, men are intricate and complex beings just as much as women are. And that is always kind of glossed over. And a lot of that is men playing to that because of the society we live in, the culture we live in. If you're a man with emotions, people call you soft. They call you a bitch. They call you feminine. You know, this, that, and the third. So, you know, now you're running into an area where these men are fathers, and especially if they got boys. They're supposed to show them how to work. They're supposed to show them how to make money. They're supposed to show them how to be useful, like provide some sort of utility, fix a car, or fix a sink, or do something to provide some use for a woman and for a family. And then, you know, you're good. And if you take it a step further and teach your son how to throw a ball or dribble a ball or shoot a ball or hit a ball, you know, now you're like super dad territory.
Right.
But outside of that, people aren't really checking for dads to be involved in other things, the more soft skills, the more emotional development, the more hands-on, affectionate type roles. It just people aren't. So I don't know that that's a dad thing. I do feel like dads aren't respected enough in that regard, and that's because I do think that there are a lot of people that feel like that's not a man's role. And that whole man, but that, you know, that's where I go back to again, that whole man role, that manhood box that we like to raise our kids in and stuff them into, that affects things like fatherhood and motherhood and how they interact with their wives, how they interact with their children, how they interact with their grandkids. So I think to have that discussion about whether or not fatherhood is valued, we have to have a serious discussion about what type of value we place on manhood and what type of, you know, like what type of personalities and skill sets, emotions and everything else, morals and everything else that we put into that manhood box. You know, you can't really separate the two. What do you think?
Yeah, I get that because I do agree that the societal place that men rest in affects a lot of the ways that men are looked at overall across the board. Because we do have a generation of women who we expect to be single mothers. And it's not necessarily because men around them have been doing great. And it's not also, it's also not because women around them have been doing great either. It's the socialization. It's the, just the way things have been going around in the society around them that that's the reality. It's not expected to thrive. I mean, it's expected to go wrong. So, I mean, but I do feel like that those stories are the dominant stories. Those stories are the norm. And that it, to me, that's an issue because fathers who are there get left out. Fathers who do great things get left out. And then, you know, in a lot of relationships, a lot of things go bad. But I do believe that fathers deserve more of the credit that they get. It shouldn't be, because I think if you're going to look at it as mothers, like a mother's, because, let me tell me, I know I'm kind of stumbling with this, but I'm thinking about four different things at one time. But when I hear somebody, and I get what people say, but when I hear somebody say, there's nothing like a mother's love, I get that because there's nothing like it. But at the same time, it's almost as if it diminishes the love a father gives. And I'd be trying to figure out, well, how was the mother's love greater than the father's love? Because last time I checked, the child needs both. Or am I missing something on that?
Well, I think there's a you know, and this is a problem we have throughout our culture. You know what I'm saying? We talk about this all the time. There's a missing component of the duality of experiences or the necessary balance that has to be present in all things. Yes, there's nothing like a mother's love, and a father's love is not like a mother's love. So, but it doesn't discount that a father's love is necessary, and I extend that to say not even a father, but a father-like figure's love. You know what I'm saying? Because the dude that is that you might call father, like the man that I call daddy, is not biologically my birth father. You know, but he was there. He raised me, he took care of me, he was there. And I've met other dudes who the man that biologically, you know, produced them, I slept with their mom, he wasn't there, and that spot was filled by a middle school coach that just took an interest, an AAU coach, some sort of city league sports coach that took an interest and took the kid under his wing. And, you know, now they call that dude daddy, or they call him father, or they call him papa, or they call him whatever. You know, so it's not even, because I think a lot of people take that shortcut of saying, I'm going to be a single mom, and I'm going to raise my kid by myself. And that's doing a disservice to you and your kid, because your kid is going to get their idea of positive male imagery from somewhere. Uh-huh. And I say this all the time. As a mom, single or otherwise, even if you with an ain't shit dude, it's still your responsibility to make sure that both your sons and daughters have positive male examples to look at. And if that means you got to enroll them in some sort of a mentor program, you got to stick them in some sort of sport that they suck at just so that they could be around a coach that you think is a decent example of a male, whatever the case, whatever needs to be done, just because you're single doesn't absolve you from finding a proper male role model for your for your children. And that's the same with me when I was a single and raising my boys. That I wasn't absolved from finding a positive female role model for my kids to be around.
Right, right. Now, that's true. And I definitely hear what you're saying on that. Just throwing out questions and stuff that I've been that I think and things that I've seen because it just doesn't feel the same when it comes to fathers as it does for mothers. And I do understand why. And like, and if anybody try to act like they don't understand why, then they really not paying attention. But we do see that there is a difference in the mothers do get that due for what they have been doing. But I still think that all fathers shouldn't be lumped in a box. Like if we can consciously not lump all women, all mothers in the box, we should be able to consciously not lump all fathers into the box as well. And
I get what you're saying, and what you're saying is legit. And you are, you know, I can tell you're thinking about a bunch of different things at once. But it's. We want to improve. We don't want to diminish anything that we do for mothers or for women, but we do want to elevate what we do for fathers and for men. And I think a big part of that is recognizing that we, outside of the face value we give to it, we really don't care too much on an emotional level about father, because I think there are too many people out here saying that a woman can do it by herself. And I think that goes back to what we talked about earlier, these manhood boxes. You know, I think back to when I was taking care of my boys alone, how many people told me when they found out that, you know, I was single with three boys that I needed to get them kids a mama because I was going to fuck them up. You know, and we went through a period of time where I needed government aid. And I can remember fighting for government aid. Like, the people legit was acting like I had stolen my children. Like, it was the craziest thing. But you know what I'm saying? When you go through that, you begin to see that people legit don't think that men can do things that men can do. And it's, you know, I'm not, again, not trying to attack womanhood or anything like that, but when it comes to things like, you know, I remember people would ask me, well, what do they eat, as if I'm not cooking? You know, like, they eat food. What do you, no, I make them dirt. They eat dirt, dirt sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? And the bread is made from mushroom mold. You know what I'm saying? Well, who washed the clothes? We don't wash clothes in my house. The clothes are made from a fabric that self-cleans. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would get these kinds of questions. You know what I'm saying? Well, do they brush their teeth before they go to school? What?
Do you brush your teeth before you go to school?
So, you know, you run
it. But once again, though, like, to me, that's one of the things that I don't like, and I think that's just been socialized within our society. Because you used to see it in the talk shows. It's like, hey, we see it on social media now. Like, this is what happens when the children are left home with dad, as if dads are incapable of taking care of the children. It's like, come on, stop that. Like, if men are incapable of taking care of children, why y'all having babies with these dudes?
Right, and we see the same thing in the television sitcoms. You know, back in the day, the 50s and 60s, dad was smart, filled with wisdom, taking care of the household. Nowadays, dad is a fucking idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like, dad is, like, he is, like, on the level of the children, unless the children are girls. Then dad is beneath the level of the children. You know what I'm saying? It's like moms getting ready to go out of town in these sitcoms, especially the sitcoms in the early 2000s. You know, the Everybody Loved Ray sitcoms and all of the other things like that, where dad was just a fucking idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah, the Homer Simpson, Peter Griffin type dad.
Right, right. Like, they leaving instructions for how to take care of the family and dad with the kids. And I think, like, that has kind of been accepted and pushed into our society, and that goes along with just the whole narrative of manhood being broken. You know what I'm saying? This idea that men are these purely sexual creatures that can't control themselves and don't think about anything but fucking eating and sports. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's a whole dynamic that needs to be discussed. And it's hard to have that discussion.
Yeah, but I think one of the bad things is, even though the images, those images we see are of white men, because it's not as prevalent in black sitcoms, but it is in black sitcoms, but it still seems like black fatherhood specifically is more undervalued than any other type of fatherhood out there. Would you agree or disagree?
You said it's more undervalued than other types.
Yeah, it's looked like black fatherhood is undervalued, as in it's not even. Yeah. It's expected less than others. Like if I was Asian and you were black, and people met our baby mamas or whatever, or our wives or whatever they would be, they would expect more from me as an Asian father than you as a black father.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of that has to do with historical ignorance. I think a lot of that has to do with statistical ignorance. I would definitely agree. I think parenthood in general in the black community is undervalued. But then, you know, since we're talking specifically about fathers for Father's Day, you know how I am about my balance. Got to make sure that. But, you know, talking specifically about fatherhood, you know, there is this sort of disbelief that black men are fathers, even though, again, back in 2013, I believe it was, the CDC released a report that showed that black men were more involved in their children's lives than any other men in America. So,
right.
But those stereotypes persist because people inaccurately read and report on statistics. The big one being that 77% of black households grow up are led by a single woman. And people don't ever really stop to think about what that means. That does not mean there isn't a father in the picture. That just means that the
woman
ain't married.
Right. Right. Because legally, if you're not legally married, you're single. Like when
right.
the census come out. And so,
right.
like you said, that don't mean that the father ain't in the picture.
So, and we don't have any accurate statistics outside of the CDC report from 2013 and a couple other reports out there to really detail to us what black fatherhood really looks like. So, you know, and we all know a lot of kids that didn't grow up with a father in the home. So, of course, we're not trying to make no correlations between whether a father has to be in the home or doesn't have to be in the home, because that's a whole separate dynamic at work. You know, I can name, for every dude I know that's an ain't shit dad, I know two or three dudes that cry themselves to sleep every night because their woman won't, you know, the baby moms won't let them see or speak to their kids because they're upset with them. Now, I'm not saying that happens a lot. Look, I know two dudes that ain't shit dads, and I know seven or eight that call me up at least once every month crying about not being able to see their kids. So
yeah.
That's my ratio. That's what I'm speaking from. But
I know more good dads than ain't shit fathers, I will say.
Right.
And
that's the point I'm illustrating.
Because, like, think about it. Like, the dudes we came up with, most of the dudes we came up with, they go out of their way to do what they can for their children. Let's just be real, like, because I'm looking at it now, even the dudes that you thought weren't going to make it, they're doing it for their kids.
Right. I mean, it's, like I said, I know a lot of dudes, and I'm not saying friends or acquaintances, I'm just saying I know a lot of dudes, and I only can name one that ain't taking care of their kids. So, you know, like, that's a whole separate. And then, you know, you look at the narrative, too, who has the bigger platform? You know what I'm saying? Because I've heard a lot of people talking about such and such ain't shit or such and such ain't shit, And I know what they're doing behind the scenes. So I think a lot of the times, too, we're just so quick to judge. We're so quick to believe. We're so quick. So black men in general, when it comes to fatherhood, have kind of been given a bad rap or undeserved rap. Now, that's not to say there aren't fuckboys out there. And we've talked about the fuckboy coalition.
Yeah, we know. There ain't nobody national fuckboys of America. We know.
Right. And they need to be cleaned up, most definitely. And, you know, we're on the freedom train. We try and set up a drop squad that's going to take care of all the fuckboys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying? We also have to look, we got to look at all sides of the equation. And I just think, especially when it comes to parenting in the black community, especially when it comes to black fatherhood, too often we look at one side of the coin, make a snap judgment, and then apply that pace to the entire community. And it's really unfair to do that, especially if you're a black doing that. Especially if you're a black man doing that. Not even talking about black women. If you're a black man doing that, because you see a lot of black dudes catering to, and I consider them fuckboys too. Look, any dude that's running around here talking about praise me because I take care of my kids and most of us don't, that's a fuckboy, in my opinion. Say what you want.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be praised for doing what you're supposed to do when you have unprotected sex and you don't pull out. You should know what to expect. And if you don't know what to expect, you shouldn't be having sex anyway. But nobody, we give women they do for doing what they've been able to do because we know there's systematic reasons that men have been absent fathers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an overall clusterfuck that's going on. But the overall aim of this show is to make sure that we shine the light on positive black fatherhood, good fathers, and make sure we're pushing that forward into overall dispel the myth of the unworthy black father. When statistically, like we know that's untrue. Like we know that's untrue, and like we're saying, hats off to all to especially like in, I know you know my pops. My story is interesting because my parents divorced when I was five, and I think, like, Pops was there. But at the same time, he and my mom had to learn how to be parents, and then they had to learn how to be co-parents at the same time. So he wasn't always present around, but he was there. So if he needed to be there, he was there just a phone call away. It wasn't that far. But, positive male role models helped. Guys who were fathers helped. And I think that's needed because my life could have turned out different. I could have made bad decisions. But I didn't because of the men that was around. And nobody, none of the men I was around, none of the fathers I was around ever made that gangster shit look good to me. It was never popularized to me, that drug shit. It was never popularized good to me. So that's why I think like the role of positive fathers, positive men in the life is needed. But black fatherhood needs to be valued just as much as anything else within our community because it's important. Nation building, family building is important within the black community and the black family. And if we think it ain't, then look at our present conditions. Even though it's not as bad as the propaganda makes it seem, it's not as good as it needs to be.
Yeah, it still ain't nowhere near what it needs to be. Look, there needs to be balance in the household, especially if you have children. You know, we've been saying this for years. Mothers love their sons and raise their daughters. Fathers love their daughters and raise their sons. There's a natural flow to the way that mothers interact with their children and the way that fathers interact with their children. And children need both. They need both in order to grow up and be, you know, emotionally developed, fully functional, useful adults. And that's not to say that single parents can't create a emotionally developed, useful adult, but that is to say that that kid is getting that imagery from somewhere. And so your kid might have just been lucky enough to pull positive imagery from space. You know what I'm saying? But there are a lot of other kids who don't pull positive imagery from space. They pull their imagery from something that's negative, and that negative begins to influence them. So, you know, you need both. And even in a two-parent home, kids are still going to pull alternate imagery down. You know, they're still going to get those alternate images from somewhere. So even in a two-parent home, it's still necessary for you to provide some sort of alternate images for your child to look at. But, you know, we got to get to this point. You know, like I said it earlier, I'll say it again. I think the single most important thing that we can do to promote fatherhood is to make the environment toxic for dudes who aren't doing what they need to do. You know, just by virtue of the dudes being shut out, you know what I'm saying? And just being in the house with your kid doesn't make you a good dad either. You know, I know a lot of deadbeat motherfuckers live with their kids. I know a lot of them.
Yeah. Just being in the house don't make you a good dad. You got to be active, present, and helping to raise a confident human being.
Right. So, you know, like but all of these are deep cultural conversations. You know, you're always talking about positive relationships. You know, like if there is ever a need to have a positive relationship, it's between, you know, a parent and their children. There's no outs to that. You know, if you have a negative relationship with your children are going to be fucked up. That's what's going to happen. So,
yeah.
You know, and then they grow up and vote for Donald Trump. So, you know, we got a lot to talk about, a long way to go to get there. And I feel you on the fatherhood thing. It's a conversation. I don't even know that we're as a community equipped to have that conversation, because as a community, I'm not sure we're ready to have a real conversation about manhood, you know, about what it means to be a man. You know what I'm saying? About what's acceptable behavior for a man. I had this conversation 2 weeks ago with a group of men, and it was five of us on the line, and everybody, so there's two of us, me and another guy, thought it was okay for a man to cry. The other three dudes said it was soft. And I've had that same conversation with women before, who they actually put like a scale on what's acceptable and what's not. Like, okay, if he cry maybe like two or three times a year, that's cool. But if he crying like once a month, then he old bitch. I can't be with no bitch. You know, so you when we're having conversations at that level about manhood in general, we're not even ready to have a conversation about fatherhood. Like, we're just not there yet. You know, these same people who be like men shouldn't cry get kind of salty when a man don't cry at a wedding.
Man,
you know what I'm
saying? But see, like, when I have conversations with men or women like that, they talk about men shouldn't cry, I just shut them up, because they not mature enough to have any more conversations with me about anything, because I'm a goddamn human being. If you're going to tell me that as a human being I can't cry, you can kiss my whole entire ass.
Right, but think about the manhood box, right?
No, I get it, though.
Yeah, in this manhood box, you're not allowed to feel any emotion outside of happiness and anger.
Yeah. I mean, the man box is a toxic space that women and men reinforce that produce fuckboys.
Right. You're not allowed to be down on your luck. You're not allowed. Well, you could be down on your luck, but you got a 2-week window to turn that shit around.
But think about it, though. Like, people wonder why so many fuckboys run around, because the environment has been changed to create these dudes. Like a dude actually chasing some women they complain about a dude chasing them. Then they complain about dudes not chasing them, but dude actually pursuing a woman these days is called being thirsty.
Right. Well, yeah.
But I mean, but let's just think about like the dynamics surrounding manhood and the things that are reinforced are flawed and just messed up, and you'll never get healthy manhood out of this. And women and men reinforce the culture. And I'm gonna keep saying that, because you can't have a culture. You can't have a culture that exists and that's as strong as it is without both men and women being compliant within it. And that's the thing about this, is what we're hitting on today with this podcast, is, you know, making sure we point out some of the things that get in the way of fatherhood thriving. So let me ask this, with what we're saying now. So what can we do to help create good fathers within our society, within our communities?
Well, after we dig through the manhood box, we're assuming that we didn't clean that out. We got to understand that fatherhood doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like, what makes you a good father is largely dependent on what the kids are getting from their mother. And so it's largely dependent on the motherhood that they're getting. You know, it's largely dependent on the needs of the children. It's largely dependent on your relationship with other men and women in their lives. You know, and that's another thing we got to talk about is the fact that none of these relationships exist in a vacuum. They all exist in relation to each other. So what I think is a good father is a good father for me and my kids. In another situation, I might be the worst father in the world. So I think one of the very first things we have to do after we unpack the manhood box and settle that whole thing out about what a man is, we have to then begin unpacking all of the boxes related to the manhood box, because all of those boxes have to do with fatherhood. When it boils down to it, preparing the next generation to be a successful generation. So once we unpack all of those boxes and we gain an understanding that fatherhood does not exist in a vacuum, that fatherhood and blah, 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 then I think I go back to what I said before, and this is something we don't even have to, well, we do have to unpack the manhood box, but we don't have to unpack those other boxes. Creating an environment that's toxic for, I really think, like, this is where I'm at right now, Joe. Negativity, fear, is a stronger deterrent than anything else. If you get men to the point where they're scared not to take care of their children, where they feel like, if I don't take care of my kids, I'll be ostracized, I'll be outcasted, right. I'll be, right. You know, abandoned by the community, no other woman will talk to me, and no other man will be my friend the moment they find out I ain't taking care of my shit.
Well, that's the way it was in African society. It may still be in some African societies where
that's what we got to do. Like,
yeah,
you
were shamed if
you
was a bitch for it.
Right.
We already talked about we ain't got no code of conduct, and that's one thing that's needed. Because to me, I think one of the things that can help make good fathers is good representations of fathers and great expectations, because we had the Fatherhood Day celebration panel discussion. And you can go to our Freedom Train Facebook page to check out the video from our Fatherhood Day celebration conversation about fatherhood. We had a very, very, very good panel, so go check it out. We got videos on that on our Facebook page. But it's like, because one of the things that they were talking about, no excuses, and it also made me think about being surrounded by good men who are good fathers, because the examples that are set, even because, like you said, you have men who are present in their life. You got parents who are present in their children's life and their children's fuckboys when it comes to being fathers, and the parents don't even check them.
Right.
Like, where's the reinforcement?
Right.
And I think that's needed, like being surrounded by men who are good fathers, but will check your ass and call you out on it when you're being a bitch.
And what you just said, too, is expectations. That's a huge word that's missing. Like, everybody's running around here talking about, don't judge me, don't this, don't that. No, I think as a community, now, sure, we shouldn't be superficially or arbitrarily or stupidly judging people, but there should be a level of expectation in the community, in the culture, that everyone should expect you to reach. And if you don't reach, they should have an appropriate response for that. And for that entire course of events to happen, judging has to commence.
But see, people need to, all right, let me say this about judging. People, y'all need to get the hell on with all this judging shit. Because first of all, y'all be like, God, only one could judge me, all that bullshit, though. Fuck all that. Y'all know damn well everybody judge everybody. Everybody get judged. Stop with the bullshit. Judging happens here. This motherfuckers who have a professional position called a what? A judge.
And even
so judgment happens.
And even biblically, you know, God appointed judges. God talked about judging.
Ain't it a book called Judges?
It's a book, right? So, you know, like, so I think people have taken all of that to say, you know, I can do what I want to do. And the fact of the matter is you can't.
Right.
You can't do what you want to do and still be a productive part of a community. That's the whole purpose of a community.
Because you can do what you want to do as long as it flows with the continuation and empowerment and the upliftment of the culture and the people within the culture. You can't have destructive behavior against the culture. Then your ass is counterproductive.
Right. And so we got to get to this point, back to this word that you use that I love, which is expectations. Where's the expectation of fatherhood? Where's the expect? Because like you said earlier, we've kind of gotten to the point now where we kind of embrace, even before a dude shows that he's not going to be a good father, we embrace the idea that he probably won't be.
Right.
And that in and of itself is toxic. And going back to dudes, like, look, if you are a dude and one of your friends is a deadbeat dad, not only is he a fuckboy, but you're a fuckboy too. Like, both of y'all are fuckboys. So, like, and I think that's the level it has to be on. Look, if I have a friend, if any of my dudes right now that I talk to, if I find out that they're not taking care of one of their kids, and they don't have a damn good reason, and that reason better be like, man, I've been going to court every week for the last few whatevers trying to get whatever because she won't let me whatever. Anything short of that, look, bro, not only am I cutting you off, but I might have to come see you because I can't allow that to continue in the community. The moment we stop letting these motherfuckers have friends, the moment we stop letting them have good times, the moment we stop letting them hook up with other females, you know, like this whole thing, like, because I think one of my friends told me every group of dudes got a fuckboy in the group. I don't have no fuckboys in my group. Why are you allowing fuckboys in your group? That makes your whole group a group of fuckboys.
Yeah, every group of dudes don't have a fuckboy. And I know with us, we had some dudes with some tendencies, but everybody's been grown up, so.
Look, man, straight up, look, and I done said this on other shows, I'm going to say it again. If I wouldn't allow you to date my sisters, if I wouldn't allow you to date my daughter, I can't talk to you. We can't be friends. We can't be acquaintances. Look, if I can't leave you alone in the room with my wife, if I don't trust you with the women close to me, we can't be friends. And a part of built into that is if you're not taking care of your kids, then obviously I don't trust you to date any woman in my circle. And so we can't be friends. I think that's where we got to go. We can't solve this problem by continuously trying to uplift the positive fathers there are without creating negative consequences for people that ain't doing their job. Because then what you have happening is dudes that are soaking up praise for doing what they're supposed to fucking do, and other dudes that don't care about getting the praise continuing to be fuckboys under the radar. Nah, it's got to be a two-pronged approach, and we got to make these motherfuckers feel it when they're not taking care of their kids.
Yeah,
I think that's point blank, period.
Yeah, fatherhood should be great fatherhood should be expected. Like now, like, I got little younger brothers, 19 to 20 years younger than me. So the dad that they have ain't the same dad that me and my brother had. Because he 30 years smarter, 30 years better. He got 30 years more assets and all these things. And you can see the difference in them growing up with a father and us not growing up with a father. So hopefully, because it's just that matters, man. I just think that when you're able to see that, because now I'm able to see my dad and other people be good fathers, and that helped me. So I feel like when I become a father, ladies, I'm single too, but when I become a father,
You gotta throw that out there, huh?
Hey, man, just letting y'all know I'm out here. So, but I think I'll be pretty straight because I want to do it. The father is something I always wanted to do. Like I thought that's what you were supposed to. Growing up, I was just like, as a man, you're supposed to want to start a family and raise productive citizens and stuff. So it's always been something I wanted to do.
Now, fatherhood is wonderful. I mean, it definitely has its perks. You know, I enjoy my kids. You know, I enjoy being around them sometimes. You know, I enjoy doing stuff with them sometimes. They teenagers now, so I don't like being around them that much because they stink as hell. But they just smell like teenagers. You know, like teenage boys, they got that extra funk going because they're going through puberty. You know, and they just stink as shit. They got their man smells working and, you know, pheromones and all of that. You know, like I'm the only dude I want to smell in my house. So, you know, when I smell your shit, I get upset. You know, that's pheromones. It's natural. It happens. You know, it's the same reason. Even with my wife, you know, she can tolerate my stink, but she loves me. She can't tolerate they stink. She ain't in no romantic relationship with them. So, you know, you get to that stage where they stink, they boys, they teenagers, you know, but all in all, fatherhood is a wonderful thing, man. It's fun. It's nice to talk to kids, teach them stuff, hear what they got to say. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand why dudes would run from it. It's a responsibility, but I've never felt like I was overwhelmed by it because it doesn't feel like an overwhelming responsibility. Like, and if you take care of your kids appropriately, you don't even feel overwhelmed by the need to take care of them. Like, kids can learn how to cook pretty early. They can learn how to wash their own clothes pretty early. They can learn how to clean pretty early. At that point, now you have somebody that's helping you around the house. Like, what's the problem if all you got to do is buy a couple meals?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna try to speak on that because I ain't ever been there. So, yeah, what Pat said.
Man, Joe, you ain't got to be a father to be able to put together that. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel, like I said, I feel like there are dudes out there that aren't getting the respect they deserve, and likewise, I feel like there are dudes out there trying to make, and not just dudes. I feel like there are women as well. That try to make parenthood more complicated and complex than it really is. Like the first 5-6 years of a kid's life, yeah, that shit is work because they don't know how to do nothing. They can't talk. I teach them everything. By the time a kid is 10, if you still feel overwhelmed by parenthood, and yes, I don't care how you take this, you fucked up somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't care how you take it. Like if your kid is 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, and they can't cook dinner for you when you come home. They can't wash clothes. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying they, like, can't. They don't know how. If they can't cook dinner for you, if they can't wash clothes, if they can't clean up, if they can't take care of themselves, especially going into preteen teenage years, look, man, you fucked up. So this shit is not that complicated. It's not that hard. I don't understand it. Anyways, I know I done pissed a lot of people off with that rant, but, you know, fuck it.
Nah. So, for you, what has been some of the most memorable moments or some of the greatest moments of being a father for you?
I would say it's not an early life, because I'm going to be honest. This is a personal thing for me. I don't really care that much for young kids, like young kids, because they can't talk and, you know, like they can't function. So, you know, but like for me, it's been, you know, like some of the conversations that I've been able to have of late, you know, with them going into their preteen years, their teenage years, they're formulating their own thoughts. So just for me, it's always like the most memorable things for me will always be the conversations that we can have now, you know, seeing how they interpret the world compared to how I interpret the world, seeing the way they look at things, even watching them as they're watching each other or watching other people and formulating it. Like, to me, those moments for me are priceless. You know, and I know that's weird. You don't hear too many people saying conversations a lot when you ask them about memorable moments, but that's got to be what it is for me. You know, especially when they stop lying. You know, when they start, like, so, you know, and that's a conversation with me and my wife, because, you know, one of them is a little too blunt with his honesty. I can appreciate that. But,
yeah,
you know, like, everybody can't appreciate that. So, but for me, that's got to be what it is. You know, when you ask them a question, they answer it bluntly and honestly, and then that turns into a whole conversation. I remember the first time that happened, probably about 4 years ago now. And that's, you know, I know it sounds silly, but that's probably my most cherished memory. The first conversation we had on some real life shit.
Yeah. So you just went in, you're like, well, goddamn.
Yeah, because, you know, you'd be surprised how much they absorb. And yeah, how much they could spit back out at you. I remember, like, a year or two ago, I was walking somewhere with my middle kid, and we were having a legit conversation about police brutality. And, you know, I was like, well, what can we do to fix it? And he was like, they should create a virtual reality video game and put the cops in it. And if the cops kill a black person in the virtual reality game, then they should be fired. And I was like, oh, they shouldn't be allowed to be a cop. Like, they should do it at the police academy. And I was like, well, if they know that they're going into virtual reality, then they would be able to act accordingly. And he was like, no, you got to put them in it while they sleep. And that way they don't know that it's virtual reality. They think it's real. And I was, you know, like, in your mind as an adult, you could think of all of the millions of ways that that won't work. But just the mere fact that he came up with this idea all on his own, you know, it's like, whoa.
Well, if you think about it, though, because the angle that he was coming at, that it got some validity to it.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, yeah. But nah, that's cool, though. That's cool. Well, I guess from the other way around, like from a son's perspective, I think, because you had me thinking about that, so I just thought as from a son's perspective, some of the most fond memories of my pops. Like every time my house would get broken into, my pops wouldn't hesitate to make sure we got the stuff that we needed, got our stuff back, got our entertainment back. Like, people would steal our covers, our drawers, and all types of dumb shit. Like, you break into somebody's house and steal socks. Like, what type of shit is that? Like, a child's socks and shit like that. So, you know, when things like that would happen, pops would always make sure we had what we needed. And then as we got older and able to have real conversations, I found that he was a lot more realer than I thought he was, and he was a lot more cooler than I thought he was. And so just being able to have real cool conversations and stuff with my pops, and you know, being able to share different things, and you appreciate the agreements and the disagreements, because when you're looking at others who may not have their biological fathers around or any other father figures, so you kind of, your heart goes out to them, but you're also thankful and appreciative, because my pops actually gave me and my brother the boost in life that we needed, because my mom was rendered disabled and couldn't financially or didn't have the resources to do that. So if it was all just left on my mom, like all straight up, I don't know if I'd be where I'm at right now. So because my pops did what he did, make the sacrifices he made to create a path for us. Because for me, even though I didn't want to go to college and I hated school, I hated college, I still like my high school better than my college now. But college was better than selling drugs. And I've said this before, college was better than just being in the streets and just trying to do some crazy stuff. So I was able to do that because my pops. And so definitely appreciate that from him.
Most definitely.
Talking about. So, I mean, but it's all the same thing, too. And, you know, my pops was willing to stand up in the paint. He was willing to beat up. So, he never heard anything bad about it from mom. And he never said anything bad about mom. So, You know, we never grew up, me and my brother never grew up with negative ideas from our parents that our parents gave us. If we had any negative ideas, which at some point we did, it was the ones that we manifested ourselves.
And that's the key thing that you just said there that I wanted to highlight was standing up in the paint. Look, for a lot of dudes out there, they're scared about fatherhood because of the way it's been painted as this, you know, like, man, it ain't a lot of dudes doing this. It's tough. It's hard for a reason, blah, blah, blah. Look, the hardest thing about being a father is literally just being there. But that's not that hard if you're just there. You know, so if you can manage to just be there, just don't run from it. Just stand on your block. I promise you, it's not the boogeyman people make it out to be. It's not as tough as people make it out to be. I mean, literally, like, who wouldn't want to pour everything they've learned in life into another person? Like, who doesn't enjoy talking about their life experiences? I ain't met a single person yet that don't like talking about their life and teaching lessons to young people. Being a parent is that 24/7. So I don't, you know, so I do want to highlight that, cause, you know, it is kind of a scary thing going into it, because you don't really know what to expect. You don't really know what's going on, and everybody keeps talking about it. It's not that hard if you stand in the space. Like, if you are in that space with your kids as much as possible, you have to actively try to be a fuckboy daddy. Like, the dudes that live with their kids and are not being good fathers, those dudes are actively trying. They're on a mission to be a fuckboy. Because just by being in that space, you will accidentally do some good shit.
Yeah.
Like, just accidentally. Like, you know, like, your kid might get stuck in a window or something and you get them out of it. That's on some accidental shit. You know what I'm saying? So, but you can't even do that if you're not in the space. And once you get in the space, you can really sit back and realize, man, this shit ain't as hard and complicated as motherfuckers make it out to be. Like, not saying it's the easiest thing in the world, because it's not. Making a baby is definitely easier, but and more fun. But you know, it's not rocket science. Like, don't let people scare you about fatherhood, man. That's my take.
Yeah. No, I get you, man. But our men, our fathers, we definitely want to make sure we show y'all some love. We love y'all. We appreciate you all, what you do on a regular basis. I know I've learned watching my homeboys how important time is, though. Like, I really, like you said, like, really how important just being there. Like, even if you broke as shit, you can be a broke-ass dude and be a good father. Like, you may not be able to get your kids all the things that they may want, but your kids will have what they need in life. And just because you can buy your kids anything don't mean your kids will turn out to be good people. Don't mean you're a good father. You know, so definitely have learned that from. So shout out to all my homeboys who are fathers, who are good fathers, who do their thing, who hold it down, who never ran from their responsibility as being fathers. Shout out to my pops, all my uncles, everybody that, you know, stand up in the paint and be fathers. All the fathers out there, especially all the black fathers out there. Shout out to you all. Matter of fact, with my little man in the shirt, man. Y'all, little man in the shirt, everybody, y'all get up off y'all feet. Tell everybody. What's up? Fathers, they ain't take some condoms off for nothing. They had purpose and intent. Ain't that right, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know I kind of veered away from the positive male images, and we know they're out there.
No, but it was being stuff being put in perspective of. Because
right.
I did ask the question, what does it take to become a good father?
So well, I
been able to see, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I do think that those men should be shot out, but I think for me personally, the real core of the problem that we're having in fatherhood is the man box and the acceptable environment that we have for fuckboys in general. And so it's kind of hard for me to just celebrate fatherhood, because I don't feel like those celebrations are pushing us in the right direction. You know, we've been celebrating Black Father every year this time. We have a celebration for the quote unquote, and I'm quoting a lot of sources I've seen over the course of the day, the quote unquote few Black men that are taking care of business, and that's not going to change anything. What we need to do is spend the next 364 days until we get back to this day shaming, bullying, beating, and abusing the dudes that ain't doing what they supposed to do. That would make a day like today that much more significant and that much more special, in my opinion. So that's where I'm coming at it from. So I just wanted to say that to clarify for everybody, like, damn, man, Pat just went in on Father's Day. Oh, man, it's a purpose behind it.
No, it's just basically because the question was what can men do to be great fathers? And the expectations have to be there, and the reinforcement of those expectations have to be there, and the enforcement. So, you know, and be able to, like we said, be able to create a culture, having the cultural standards to where if you are not a father, it's not accepted in the culture. So yeah, man. Yeah, man. So shout out to folk. Shout out to you, Pat, for being there, standing up, doing your thing with your sons. And everybody else out there, man. And we old enough to be daddies now, man. That's all.
I know, hey, man.
I was just saying, hey, man, it was just 98 the other day.
Man, youth is wasted on the young, man. My dad used to say that all the time, and I ain't never know what he meant. I know now. Like, I get it now. Like, it's so many things.
You got time.
Yeah, man, there's so many things I would do if I could go back. You know, even thinking about, like, I'm not that old, but I don't have 21, 22, 23-year-old Pat body no more, man. That, like, you know, you just wish you could go back and do the shit you could do back then. You wish you had that energy that you had back then. I'm convinced these motherfuckers that be like, man, I'm 48 and I'm 50 and I'm in the best shape of my life. Your life has been hell, if that's true. Look, there is no way in the world at 50 years old I'm going to be in better shape than I was at 25. It's just not going to happen.
Now, that shouldn't be the best shape of my life. I'm in great shape now, but it shouldn't be the best. Because, yeah, I've been lazy when I was younger, but, man.
Right, that's what that means to me. But, you know, I was thinking, yeah, and time flies, like you said, man. This shit been moving. To me, I used to pick on my dad because I felt like he was stuck in the 70s. And now I find that I actually am stuck in the 99 and 2000s.
Hey. Because it was a good time.
You know, like, I'm waiting for Trick next album to come out. You know what I'm saying?
Anybody with a...
Right. Like, you know, every now and then somebody be like, Pat, man, Trick ain't coming out with a new album.
Yeah. You want to know what another thing I was thinking about earlier? It ain't no good fatherhood songs, man.
Nah. Not as popular.
Like, the best one is like the Will Smith Just the Two of Us, but if you go back and listen to that, Will's fucking that.
Yeah, it's not his best work.
Nah, it's not at all. So we need artists, we need some good fatherhood songs that we can play something jamming too, man. It ain't got to be corny to be good for fathers too. Something jamming too.
But that speaks to the culture though. Every year you get at least four or five decent motherhood songs. And I mean, you go back to, you know, I still think Tupac's Bill Mama is like, yeah, that's still there. But every year you get at least a few. They might be subpar, but they come out. You don't hear a whole lot of Dear Daddy songs. That, you know, actually, the most popular one is still Papa Was a Rolling Stone, ain't it?
Of all time, yeah, Papa, but that's not a good daddy song.
So. Yeah, that's not. That's
yeah,
absolutely not.
Right. So yeah. Wherever he laid his hat. Nowadays, wherever he lays his condom.
Right. You know. And he keep finding women to sleep with.
Yeah, because he virile. All right, whatever. Right. It is, but that's why we exist, and our mission is to change the narrative, because the Freedom Train is Black America's number one resource for media. So that's why we keep doing what we do. Hey, man, but, you know, like we said, we love the fathers. We love our fathers. Thank you all for what you do. Thank you for your service, fathers. And we just wanted to make sure that we show some love. Like I say, go to the Freedom Train Facebook page. There's a great video, a great discussion about fatherhood. We had a panel discussion Friday, a live panel discussion on Facebook from our Freedom Train Facebook page. If you missed it, go back. We'll do what we can to make sure that we see the links and stuff and put the stuff on the website, the email stuff out so you can get it. But check us out, our Freedom Train Facebook page, and, you know, check out our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. We'll be back next Wednesday with the Freedom Train podcast series. So it's how we get down and how we do what we do. Pardon shots, Pat.
Power to the people.
Hey, and people with the topic.